for a few minutes in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I appreciate all the good singing tonight and the presence of God that's here. And I was just sitting over there thinking, I thank the Lord for this church, don't you? And I know it's the Lord that makes it so wonderful. If he wasn't here, it wouldn't mean anything. But I do thank God for the people, don't you? The people of God. And I'm thankful for Bible Baptist Church. And I just appreciate what God has been doing in this place down through the years. Amen. And a lot of places are changing. But you know, God hasn't changed. His word hadn't changed. His doctrine, his convictions, his principles, his precepts hadn't changed. And by the grace of God, we should never change. Amen. And I just want to stay with it, don't you? Until Jesus calls us home. Exodus chapter 33. I want to read one verse of Scripture if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Father, I ask you tonight, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us something tonight that'll help us along life's journey. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We want to thank you for the unseen hand that works in our life. And we thank you for your goodness. We ask you now to bless and have your way in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to just use one verse of Scripture tonight. And I want you to notice in verse number 11 in our text tonight, I want you to see three individuals in this text. First of all, I want you to note the Lord, as the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." And certainly tonight, God is as real tonight as you and I are, and even more so. We know that tonight that God is a spirit, but we are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And we see the Lord in this verse, and then we see the leader in this verse. The Bible said that the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, I would say tonight that whenever God gets ready to speak, he'll always speak to the leadership that has been put in that place. And here it is Moses, as he's been given the responsibility and the accountability of leading the people of God and taking them out of Egypt's bondage and to the land of Canaan. We know that they are in the wilderness at this current time, but we see the leader. God always has a man. He always has someone that he's going to use to lead the people of God. And so we see the Lord, and then we see the leader. But I want you to notice the lesser in this text here. As the Bible said, "The Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp." But notice this, his servant Joshua. I want you to think about Joshua for a few moments tonight. Joshua would be the lesser in this text tonight, less in his authority, as the Bible notes him as a servant, less in his ability because of his inexperience, and less in his age, as Moses would be the older man of God and Joshua would be the young man of God. And I want you to notice here in this text that when the Bible talks about Joshua in verse number 11, it names Joshua here as a servant. Amen. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua. So Joshua is first recognized as a servant. You know, if God is ever going to use any of us, we have to come to that place in our life where we realize that we are servants. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this walk of life. It doesn't matter who we are tonight, but that's what we are. We are the servants of the Most High God. And I want to stop and say what a privilege it is to be a servant of God. You see, before we got saved, we was a servant to sin. We was a servant to this world, but now we are a servant to Him. We was a slave to this world, but thank God we're a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we serve Him not because we have to, but we serve Him out of love, and we serve Him because we want to. And so we see Joshua the servant, and then we notice Joshua the son here. The Bible said that he was the son of Nun. Amen. He's given another title in this text here, meaning that Joshua was the son of Nun. He had someone that had gone before him, someone that had raised him
him in the right manner. You know, tonight, young people, you ought to thank God. If you've got a godly daddy and a godly mama, you ought to praise God for that. Amen. If you got parents that'll love you and parents that'll pray for you and parents that'll take time to bring you to the house of God, you ought to never do anything that would dishonor the Lord, and you ought to never do anything that would dishonor your parents. Amen. You ought to carry right on the traditions and the teaching and the principles and the foundation that's been given unto you. For to whom much is given, much is going to be required at the judgment seat. And so we see Joshua the servant. We see Joshua the son. I want you to notice Joshua the strong here. The Bible calls him a young man, meaning, my friend, that he's in the strength of his youth. He's in the prime of life. Joshua has an opportunity not just to serve God with all of his soul and not just to serve God with all of his heart, but he can serve God with all of his strength. Amen. I'm telling you, young people, tonight, don't waste your youth. Don't be lazy in your young years. Give God the best years of your life. You put your hand to the plow and you be faithful, you young men and young ladies. You give God those best years, and I promise you, you'll reap the results of it all the days of your life. If you'll live for God in your youth, it'll pay great dividends from here to the graveyard and even in eternity. Amen. He is Joshua the servant. He is Joshua the son. But he is Joshua the strong. Amen. Give God your best. Labor for God, young people. Serve God. You don't need a title. You don't need a trophy. But what you do need to do is be busy about the Father's business. Amen. I mean, if you see a piece of paper laying on the ground in the house of God, pick it up. Amen. And put it in the trash. Isn't that right? I mean, if you can do something in your local church, get involved. Amen. I mean, be busy. God doesn't want us to be lazy. And I'm not down on you tonight, but I think every young person here would agree with this. This is about the laziest generation that's ever lived. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, work absolutely scares him to death. But get up in the morning and give God the morning time. I mean, don't sleep till 9 o'clock. Get up early. Amen. Get up before the sun comes up and do your best in your schoolwork and do your best in your chores. And don't let your room look like a tornado come through it, an F5. Amen. I mean, have some character. Amen. If you got a dirty room, go home and clean it up tonight. I don't care if you got to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Go home, amen, and have some character, some neatness, some organization about you, amen. Had a young man say to me one night, he said, "You're OCD." I said, "No, I just have character, and you ought to get a little bit of it, amen. Isn't that right? I mean, growing up, we never heard anything about OCD. We just knew you had to keep things clean. You had to keep things in order. Amen? We're not OCD. We just had parents that, listen, they'd wear your backside out if you didn't take care of things. I'm just saying, give God your best. And when it comes to church, don't be lazy about coming to church. Don't be lazy about going to Sunday school. Don't ever come to church without your Bible. Don't ever come to church, amen, and not give God your best. Don't ever come to church and lay out the youth choir or lay out the regular choir. I mean, you get in there and you serve God. You live for God. You live for Jesus. You give him the best years of your life. Amen. I see Joshua the strong. And then notice in our text, this is what I want to preach on a few minutes tonight. Joshua the steadfast. Look at that last phrase in verse 11. The Bible says, a young man departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua wasn't just a servant and a son and strong, but I notice in this text the steadfastness of Joshua, how that he was not willing to leave the house of God. He was willing to stay there. He would not depart out of the tabernacle. So I was reading this verse one day, probably about 7 or 8 weeks ago, and I thought about this young man, how that he wasn't willing to leave the tabernacle. tabernacle. He would not depart out of the tabernacle. You know, there's been a lot of young people down through the years that have departed. Amen. And young people, you can testify to that fact. And we can testify to that fact. There's been a lot of young people that's came through the church on fire for God. I believe they were saved. I believe they loved God at some point in their life. But maybe they got their eyes on the world. Maybe they got their eyes on a boy, or got their eyes on a girl, or they got their eyes on money, or they got their eyes on something out there other than what was in here, and they're no longer amongst us anymore. Could name a lot of them tonight, couldn't we? Adults as well. Young people, you have to purpose in your heart. Are you going to stay in this old time way all the days of your life? It's never changed. It's not just in your generation, but I'm telling you, in generations before, listen, from the youngest to the eldest tonight, we could all testify. I'm telling you, you could get some gray-haired saints that have lived for God down through the years. Brother Laddie, you could probably testify, no doubt, to this. And Brother Danny, you could testify to this. When you go back to your youth and living for God, there was no doubt young people in your day, listen, that was going to church and serving God, but they blew out, or they went out, and they're no longer serving God anymore. No telling where their lives are at. And as I mentioned this morning, when people get out of church or get out of the will of God, or they get away from God, you mark it down. Life never gets better. It always gets worse. Amen. That's why the devil never quits trying to pull on us to get us going another direction. Amen. You see, all the devil wants to do tonight is get you out of the center of God's will. And tonight you're in a good place. God has put you in a good place. God has blessed you in a good place. And you and I will do well tonight to make our mind up that we're not going to depart. Nobody gets up one day and says, you know what, I think I'll quit Bible Baptist Church. No, it's a slow fade. Service by service, week by week, little by little, not even intending, but one day they get to the place where they finally pull the trigger on it and they get out. You got to make your mind up that you're going to be steadfast. Here's a young man that would not depart from the tabernacle. Now, why is that tonight? Joshua, why would you not depart? I'm preaching on the young man who would not depart. Why, Joshua? I think number one tonight, it was because of what he saw. The Bible said the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I don't think Joshua wanted to leave the house of God because of what he saw. You say, what did he see? He saw the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Joshua. He saw the presence of God as it came down. He saw the power of the Lord as God showed up in that tabernacle, as God showed up in his house. He saw the passion of the Lord as he spoke to Moses face to face. There was an intimate fellowship. There was an intimate relationship, and Joshua is standing by as the servant of Moses, as the servant of the Lord. You see, in serving God, you have to serve men that are greater than you. And there is a younger generation. I'm not indicting you here tonight, but I want the young people to understand there is a younger generation coming up that does not want to serve the generation that was before them. What I mean by that is there's a major lack of respect. Amen. I'm telling you, coming up, we were taught to you respect the gray hairs. You respect those that are beyond you. If they're 10 years beyond you, you respect them. Your respect is seen in how you treat them. Your respect is seen about how you talk about them. I'm telling you, young people today, don't think twice about running their trap and saying things. And sometimes it's just better to be silent. Amen. Sometimes it's better to not have. You may have an opinion, but you need to bury that opinion in your youth. Amen. I've never seen an hour when young people seem to know so much and do so little. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not down on you. I just want you to understand. Don't be like the people you're seeing out there today. Don't feel like you have all the answers. And don't take answers from people that have not been proven. Amen. Young people, listen to me. You would agree with this. You've probably seen a lot of young people your age, and I mean, they got all kinds of answers. Isn't that right, Brother Andrew? And advice. And the best advice I can give you, Brother Andrew, to all those that want to give you advice as your age, is don't listen to none of them. Now, does that mean everything they're telling you is wrong or stupid? No, just don't listen to them. Because they're not proven. They may be saying the right things, but they've got to be proven. Amen? They've got to live some things out. And the way some things may sound good in your youth, but with a little bit of time, with a little bit of experience, with a little bit of trials along the way, you may see things a little bit different, and you will see things a little bit different the older you get. But you learn to elevate the gray hairs. You learn to respect those that are older than you. Be careful what you say about people. Be careful how you treat people. You listen to what they have to say, and you be a respectful person. Amen. Character is lost in this generation. When it's not taught in public schools, it's not taught in the home. When TV and sitcoms and all kinds of commercials and movies and things teach a major lack of respect and teach that young people spout off at their parents and say all kinds of things, and parents act like they're just not reality, but Hollywood wants us to believe that parents are dumb and hip and just trying to get on the same level as young people. I'm going to tell you, if I'd have talked to my dad and mother the way I sit here and see some young people talk to their parents, I'd be wearing false teeth right now if I wasn't on a ventilator. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about, listen, just being able to drink water through a straw and hear thunder clasp is about all it'd be left of me. Amen. If I talk to my parents the way some young people talk, I'm just telling you, friend, you got to respect your parents. I don't care how they're living or what they're doing. God gave them to you, and you wouldn't be here without them. Amen. And listen, they paid the power bill and the water bill and put clothes on your back. They ought to be respect for them all the days of your life. Amen. And we're to honor our parents. Isn't that right? I'm just talking about this young man. He had something going for him. He knew he was the lesser, but he was willing to serve Moses because he was willing to serve God. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to start at the bottom. Amen. And if you stay on the bottom, thank God, the bottom's a good place to be. Amen. Because God, he shows up on the bottom as well. Amen. A lot of people want to be chief, don't they? They don't want to be the Indians. And I believe this young man wouldn't depart because of what he saw. He saw the presence of God. You know, when you're in a church where God's presence is, it'll make you not want to leave church. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, to be in a church where the presence of God is in this day and time is a real privilege. A lot of churches, the reason they've canceled their services, I'd cancel them too on Sunday night and Wednesday nights if I was going to church as dead as some of them. Amen. When there's no presence of God, there's no desire to be in the house of God. And so that's why you want to cancel services. But when God shows up, we're blessed tonight to sit in here singing and to hear preaching, and most of all to have it seasoned with the Spirit of God. I know we don't shout every single service, but I'm glad we can go to church and get help. Amen. I'm glad we can go to church and God shows up. Amen. I mean, we got structure, but we're not dead with an odor. Amen. Listen, things have got to be decent and in order, but we know that when God moves, there's freedom and there's liberty in the house of God, and how we need that. And young people tonight, listen, don't depart from the house of God. Think about what you've been privileged to see. Think about what you've been privileged to witness. Amen. What God has done in your life. Think about that. You know, I look back through life. God privileged me and my wife to be around Concord Baptist Church and Faith Baptist Camp, to get in on and see the presence of God and people worshiping, and the liberty and the power and the preaching. And you tonight that are here, God's allowed you to be here, young people. You didn't live the days that I lived. God's letting you live these days. You don't remember, and God is blessing Brother Randy, and God is blessing Faith Baptist Camp. I mean, it's amazing what God's doing there. But you didn't live in some of the days that we lived in. But I'll tell you, God's letting you live these days. God's letting you, it may not be Faith Baptist Camp in the 80s and the 90s, but God's let you live through some jubilees, and God's let you see the presence of God. God's let you see on a Wednesday night 20-something people walk the aisle and get saved on one old hill. God's let you see men of God that have not compromised and have not wavered preach, and God's let you hear preaching. Sometimes it'll lift you up and sometimes it'll tear you down, but God's give you a good steady diet of the Word of God. You've been privileged. You don't have to drive cross country. You don't have to drive three states and stay in a motel to sit and get in on it. You can get in on it on your own home ground, and then you can come back on Sunday when many of them go home with nothing more than just a memory to run on. But you can come back on Sunday and you can get right back in it on Sunday. I'm telling you, God has let you get in on it, and you better get in on it. Don't sit there till you die. Don't sit there and just drain it all out and just dry up on the vine. No, sometimes you gotta swing out and you just gotta step out and let God fill you up and run your cup over. Amen. Oh, they sung it tonight that men would praise the Lord. I believe he would not depart because of what he saw. Hey, listen to me tonight. Don't you depart from this church. God lets you see some things here. Just go ahead and plan on getting married, you girls. Plan on getting married and staying right here. Could I get an amen out of three of you at least? Some of them won't even smile at me when I make that statement. I know all these boys are ugly, but give them some time. Amen. And you don't want a pretty boy anyway, I'm telling you. Get you a guy that's filled with the Holy Ghost and halfway decent. And, you know, you'll work on him. You'll get him to looking better. Amen. He'll look better as time goes by. I'm telling you, you just wait on God and you just pray. And listen, you boys the same way. Listen, don't get in your eye, in your head, that you need some little hot tamale out there. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll do nothing but ruin you. Can I get an amen out of you right there? I mean, you just stay right here in the house of God. You pray God sends you the right person at the right time. Amen. Don't get in no hurry. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You just stay with it and you be interested in the presence of God and God filling up your life. And I'll tell you why. You won't have to hunt her. God will send her to you at the right time. Amen. I mean, she may be ugly as a mud fence, but if it's the will of God, she'll be a beauty queen to you. Can I get an amen right there? Yeah. That's just true tonight. Y'all know that's true. Go ahead and nod your head. You know, young people can take preaching. And you don't get in a hurry. Y'all know y'all ain't. Y'all still think girls got cooties, and that's wonderful. They really do have cooties, so just stay away from them. But you wait, and you love God, and I believe all y'all are loving God. But you be patient. Don't y'all know people tonight that got in a hurry? You see how it turned out? You want that to be you? No. You wait on God. You girls don't want that to be you. Y'all been raised in this church all your life just about it. Don't you get in no hurry. Some old boy will come after y'all. And I'm telling you, if he don't love God and he don't want anything to do with Bible Baptist Church, I can go ahead and tell you he's the wrong person for you. Is that right? Amen. He wouldn't depart because of what he saw. Think about what you saw. He wouldn't depart because of what was said. The Lord spake unto Moses. And it wasn't just what the Lord said to Moses, but it was the way God spoke to him. Look, face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. This was a close conversation, and I think it was a very critical conversation because of the context of the scripture surrounding it, and we won't get into all that tonight. You can read it when you go home. But what Joshua is observing, young people, your minds are sharp tonight. and use the sharpness of your mind. You can't make, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, I know you'll agree with this, you can't make the right decisions just because you have a sharp mind because of the inexperience and that just comes with youth. But what you can do is you can take the sharpness of that mind and observe everything. You observe everything God put in your path. You observe your parents and their teaching and their principles. Observe their life. The devil will tell you, and even some teenager that doesn't know God will come along and say, oh, your parents are old fogies. I'm going to tell you, your parents ain't that far down the road ahead of you. Amen. I mean, they're just a little ways down the road. Oh, they're just old fogies. They're old. You know, when you're about 15, 14, 15, 16, you think 30's old. Can I get an amen right there? But it won't be long. You'll be knocking on that door. And you'll think 50's old. It won't be long. You'll be knocking on that door. What I'm telling you is observe your parents. They've lived life longer than you have. They've witnessed, they've been through things. Observe what older people have to say. Don't take your advice, I said, from others. Joshua is standing in this tabernacle and he's not saying anything. He's not doing anything. He is observing a conversation between the Lord and Moses. He has got his ears open. His radar is up. He is just taking in what is being said. You know, that's what it is. I know as a young person, you just want to push the throttle. I understand that. I'm telling you, when I was 14, and 15, I couldn't wait to get my driver license. And when I got my driver license, I couldn't wait to get a pickup truck. Amen. And I was ready to go, but my parents knew that I really wasn't ready to go. And then when I started preaching, I couldn't wait to just go anywhere and everywhere, but I wasn't ready to go. Amen. And when you get married, you just got all these ideas and you got all these things in life that you're ready to grab hold of. But God will put you in some air in your youth in some places, and He'll put people around you so that you can take in and observe things. He wants you to listen. And Joshua is listening to what is being said. The Lord is speaking, but he's talking to Moses face to face as a man speaking to his friends. And listen to me, young men. Joshua got a hold of that. And in his heart, he said, I want that. I want that kind of relationship that Moses has. Hey, young person, young adult, what kind of relationship do you want with God? Do you want that kind of relationship, that closeness, that fellowship? Do you want, I'm going to tell you, you need it for all of life's decisions. What you need to know is not what I'm going to do, but what you need to know tonight is what is the Lord going to say about this? You see, you got to be able to hear His voice. I'll make the wrong decision. You'll make the wrong decision if you don't have that personal relationship. How do you have that personal relationship? You have that personal relationship by opening this book every day. And when you read this book, you hear from God. And when you pray, listen, God hears from you. Look at me. You need to hear from heaven. You need to hear from God. You need to read this book every single day. It may just look like black words on a white page some days. But bury your nose up in it and stay in this book all the days of your life and pray prayers every day. You may not pray 30 minutes a day at one time, but you need to say a prayer here in the morning. You need to say a prayer sometime in the noonday. You need to get in the habit of prayer. And listen, don't make choices. I see so many young people making choices without ever hearing from God, without ever listening to what God has to say. You don't make a decision without God giving you a chapter and a verse confirming what His will is for your life. Well, Brother Gravely, I can make $2 more an hour over here. So I'm going to take this job because it pays more. What does God have to say about that? Well, I'm going to have to work some Sundays. Well, I can tell you right now, that ain't God's will. I'm going to start missing Wednesday night church. You don't even need to pray about that. Y'all still with me tonight? I'm going to tell you what the book says about that. And if you're not going to depart, you're going to have to listen to what He has to say. And listen, don't throw everything you've been taught. Don't throw everything that's ever been preached to you out the window over one bad decision because you want it more than what God wants it for your life. I'm telling you, listen to what's being said. Listen to what God's let you see down through the ears. Apply the preaching to your life. Amen. Why would he not depart? Because of what he saw, because what was said.
And then because of where he stood, look at where Joshua is standing in this verse. Say, Brother Gravely, where's he standing? He's standing in a holy place, isn't that right? The Lord's there. Moses is there. It's the tabernacle. He's standing in a very humble place. I think it was humbling for Joshua to be there to see the presence of God and that great servant of God, that general of the faith, Moses, to be standing there. I think Joshua took that in and said, you know what? How did I get here? Young person, how did you get here tonight? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how blessed you are that God lets you be at Bible Baptist? I know we're not a perfect church tonight, but God lets you be born in America. He lets you hear the gospel. He lets you be born in the South. I'm not making fun of people in other areas, but what I'm telling you is it's a privilege to be in the Bible Belt. He lets you be born in the South. He lets you be born in an old-fashioned church. Let you come to an old-fashioned church. He lets you get under the sound of the gospel. He lets you go to a Sunday school class. Hey, if you're a young person here, if you're a young adult or a teenager, think about the people that's in your Sunday school class. Hey, look up here, young adults. Don't be late for Sunday school. Can I get an amen right there? I'm praying for some of you young adults, you'll be faithful to Sunday school. You say, why? Because think about your class. Think about what you get to go to. Listen, you young adults, you've got the ability to drive and make your own decision. Don't start out in your life by coming in 10 minutes late or not even at all for Sunday school. You need to make a commitment to God tonight that you're going to be faithful to Sunday school. If you can go to work every single day on time, you can show up for Sunday school. Can I get an amen right there? Young man, listen to me. Young lady, listen to me. God lets you go to a class where there's other young people. You know how many young adults tonight? And listen, you boys know I'm preaching to you, and some of you young ladies know I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you because I love you. I want you to go to Sunday school because there's churches everywhere where young adults sit on a pew by themselves. They don't have a young adult class to go to. They don't have any young people to encourage them. All they got is to just keep on by themselves, and you've got others. I'm just telling you because I love you, and I want you to be faithful. I don't want you to waste the opportunity God's given you. Amen. Go to Sunday school. Be faithful. Be on time. Bring your Bible. Take notes. Because you never know the lesson you set in next Sunday. It may be what changes your life. It may be the critical answer that you need for life's problem. He stood in a humble place. He stood in a holy place. He stood in an honorable place. God had honored him with his presence, and Joshua knew that. Why would this young man not depart? Because of what he saw, what was said, where he stood. And then finally, I want to close with this. Because Joshua would not depart, notice in verse 11, here's what he valued. He valued the presence of God. He valued the man of God. He valued the service of God. He valued the house of God. Because he wouldn't leave, young people, because he made a decision to stay, and he could have left, but because he hung around, when he finally did walk out of that tabernacle, you know what I think? He had a greater appreciation for the Lord after standing in his presence. He had a greater appreciation for Moses after standing in his presence, in the presence of God. When he saw the Lord speak to Moses, he saw Moses in a different light. So Moses was just a man. Yes, he was, but he was God's man. And Joshua had that mentality. You watch these people. Every preacher is just a man. We're just flesh. We don't walk on a different level. We fight the same battle. We understand that. But you watch these people that want to devalue the man of God. I know I'm preaching here and I'm the man of God, but I preach this everywhere else and might as well plow it up right here too. You watch this crowd that says, well, you know, he puts his shoes on just like us. Well, we know that. He puts his pants, he puts his pants, legs on. Well, we know that. That's not the issue. You watch that crowd that says, well, who does he think he is? I'm going to tell you, I'm a nobody tonight. But I've heard that crowd enough down through the years, and every one of them has a heart problem. Brother, you listen, what I'm preaching right now, I'm not preaching it because I'm the pastor. I'm preaching it because I believe it 1,000%. I believed it before I came to this church. I'll believe it when I'm old and gray-headed and not pastored. I'll still believe what I'm believing tonight. That book says, touch not mine anointing. I know that talks about a king, but I'm going to tell you something. God anoints his men. Amen. And there was prophets, and there was priests, and there was kings anointed in that scriptures there. And I want to tell you, or in the Bible, I want to tell you tonight, you be careful about what you say about a man of God. Amen. I don't even care if a man of God's wrong. I know preachers tonight that can't even get along with each other. I ain't putting my hand on them. I don't care if I go to fist fighting. I'm not bothering them tonight. Brother, they're God's men, aren't they? Even when a man of God falls off into sin, we have to be careful what we say about that man of God. He might have fallen. He might even be disqualified, but he's still God's man, isn't he? And tonight, he had an appreciation for the man of God. He had appreciation for the service of God. You know, tonight as preachers, we got preachers in here. We have to be careful how we view the service of God. It's not about a paycheck tonight. The service of God is not about recognition. The service of God tonight is not about what I feel like I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to nothing. This church tonight doesn't owe me anything. You know that? You don't owe me nothing. Everything you've ever done for me or ever am doing for me right now, and if you do anything in the future for me, it's out of the good graces of your heart tonight. You don't owe me nothing. I have no right whatsoever. If you never gave me another penny, I have no right whatsoever to walk out them doors and ever say a bad thing about this church or any other church for that matter, to ever talk about another church. You know why? Because what I deserve is to be under this building tonight. What we deserve tonight is preachers. Is we deserve to be in hell with our back broke and to be called to preach and to preach the word of God. It's not about merchandise and it's not about money and it's not about fame. Amen. You say, well, Brother Gravely, that's easy for you to say because you get a paycheck. But I'm going to tell you, there was days I preached without a paycheck and I'll keep on preaching. If there are days comes I don't have a paycheck. Listen, there's something on the inside that wants to preach. It's not about money. Hallelujah tonight. And some men ought to get out of the ministry, shouldn't they? Because that's all they're interested in is the paycheck. But tonight, when you don't depart, when you stay, you have an appreciation for the service of God tonight. Then you have a value for the house of God. You know what the devil will do to you tonight? You don't have to be a young person. You know what the devil will do to you tonight? If you'll listen, well, he'll do it to me. He'll talk to us about the church. The devil's good at saying, hey, did you see that? Look at that member right there. Boy, did you see them? And he'll try to get your eyes on that member. Listen, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they did? He'll try to get your eyes on people. And you know what that'll do to you? It'll poison you. There's a lot of people out of church today because they got their eyes on people. And there's a lot of people in church today, but they're bitter and they're backslid because they got their eyes on people. You know, tonight when I think about, you can't pastor any length of time and people not mistreat you in some way. But that road can go both ways tonight, friend. And sometimes when you hear a little somebody say something, and let me just say this. If anybody ever says, I said, would you at least come ask me? Don't take their word for it. Amen. At least find out the context if I even said it. But any time in the ministry that I've ever even thought that somebody hurt me, I think about how I've let people down. I think about where I have failed. I have failed God, and I have failed people before. We all have. And it'll keep you from getting bitter if we just keep the microscope on us and not on others. Inspect ourselves.